very, tell me when to start.
Okay. So let's open up the Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara says about 12 lines up from the bottom, Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Chayav Adam Likrosis HaMegillah Balayla U'Shanosa Bayom. A person is obligated to read the Megillah at night and the second time by day. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is going to derive that from a pasuk in Tehillim in Perek Chav Bet. That chapter of Tehillim Chav Bet is very famous because it opens up with the words Lamanatseach, Mizmor Lamanatseach, Al Ayelet HaShachar. And Ayelet HaShachar is Esther. So that chapter in Tehillim Chav Bet has a direct relationship to Esther Amalka, and specifically to the moment that Esther Amalka enters into the chater to enter into Siach Hashverosh. You remember that there was a decree that no one was allowed in there.
Start being called.
Yeah. Machat Dos Olam was the pasuk says that it was a capital crime to go in there uninvited. So Chazal tell us that when Esther went in there, she had a prayer on her lips. Maybe you remember this pasuk. It says, this is the pasuk in Tehillim Chav Beis, Eli, Eli, lama azavtani. Oh my God, why have you forsaken me? It's a cry of loneliness, a shriek of despair and anguish. And that's called Mizmor Lamnatzeach al Yelet HaShachar. Now in that very same chapter, there's a pasuk that reads the following, Elokai Ekra, I call out, I cry out to my God, Yomam by day. Velosana, and if God doesn't respond to my prayers by day, the Laila Velodubili, I will not be silent at night. I'll continue to cry out to Hashem and petition and beseech Him to save me even at night. So you see that both day and night are included in this operation, in this endeavor to cry out to Hashem. And specifically when Esther Amalka cries out to Hashem because she knows what's on the line over here, the entire future of the Jewish people. And from this, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, from this pasuk, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi derives a double chiyuv of Mikra Megillah, once at night and once during the day. If you drop down to Itmar, Itmar is the first word in the line, about seven lines up from the bottom, Itmar Nami, Omer Rabbi Chelb Omer Ula. There's a member here in the name of Ula, and Ula came from a city called Bira. Chayav Adam Likros as a Megillah Balayla Shanos Bayom. So far, it's identical to what we saw in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. But where does it differ? Shenemar, because of a different pasuk. This is also from Tehillim, but not Perek Chav Beis, but rather Perek Lamed. What does it say in Perek Lamed? So that Perek, that chapter in Tehillim, opens with Aromimcha Hashem Kidi Lisani. It's a capitul that we say every morning, if you have that minhag, before we start Suke Dezimra. Do you have the minhag to say that? Some have the minhag to say that. And in that capitul, number Lamed, number 30, it says, Leman Yizamercha Chavod. What does Yizamercha mean? To sing out, correct? To sing out to your honor. So Zmiros means Shiros V'tishpachos Shevach, praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then it says, V'lo Yidom, and I won't be silent. So the words V'lo Yidom add another punch to this L'man Yizamecha Chavod. If you take a look at Rashi says, L'man Yizamecha Chavod. This is three lines up from the bottom of the page, by Yom. V'lo Yidom Balayla, and I won't be silent by night. It's very similar to what we saw before. Before we said, V'layla V'lo Duvioli. And here we says lo yidom, and this also, even though it's not explicit in the pasuk, refers to Lila. And Rashi goes on to say, v'hai kra, this pasuk, b'mizmar u'mimcha Hashem ki lisoni darshinim b'psikta. Psikta is a medrash halach of Chazal, and it says there that this whole chapter, number 30 in Tehillim, b'mardachai v'ester v'homav v'achashverosh. Various parts of the pasuk, I'm sorry, let me correct that, various psukim in this chapter refer to various aspects of the story of Purim. Right? We have their Hafakta Mispedila Machali. Remember that pasuk?
Yeah.
All right. And Hafakta Mispedila Machali refers to the fact that there was a Zer of Haman, and God converts it from a hesped, hafakta mispedi l'machol. L'machol is a song or a dance of happiness and joy. So the whole story of Purim is this transition from sadness to joy. Hashem alukai li'olam odeka. And li'olam odeka means man has to be constantly involved in shevach, in praise
to Hashem.
So therefore, when you want to indicate that something is constant, for example, in Talmud Torah, if you want to indicate that you're constantly involved in Talmud Torah, what do you need to do? Day and night, exactly. Day and night indicates the... Well, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, for example, the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. So we have Kriyat Shema by day and Kriyat Shema at night. So the idea of doing something twice in the course of a 24-hour period, both in the Yom and in the Laila, the two units that make up a day, that reflects the constancy of a person involved in that action. In this case, in Shevach Modoy, Leman Yizamecha Vov V'lo Yigom, Li'olam Odeka. Li'olam Odeka means both by day and by night, and that's going to express itself in Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim. Rashi goes on here, the last line in Rashi, Kriyas HaMegillah Shevachu, and Kriyas HaMegillah itself, says Rashi, is a Shevach. Shemefarsimim Es HaNes, because it's praise to Hashem when we publicize the miracle of Purim. V'akol mekalsim l'akodesh baruch. V'akol indicates the tzibur, because there's a kiyum, a special aspect I mentioned to reading the Megillah publicly. The entire community gets together to praise Hashem. Now, what I would like to ask of the Talmidim today is that you take that last line and a half of Rashi, starting from the words ukriyas haMegillah, and I want you to rewrite this sentence of Rashi according to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rashi is saying it in the context of Ula. How would you rewrite that sentence if you were reflecting the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi? Uri, could you do that for me? You have the Rashi? Ukriyas HaMegillah. Now, instead of Shevachu, what would you substitute for the words v'shevachu if you were writing a commentary on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, not on Ula, but on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi?
Read the Megillah.
Ukriyas HaMegillah, instead of the word shevach, give me another word. Substitute a different concept here. Yes, Jacob. Not limud. Again, let's go back to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi because I see you didn't chop it. Okay, what is that? Okay, what is that? To cry out. How would you conceptualize that? Sa'aka or... What do you say?
Tefillah.
Exactly. Tefillah is also called Ekra. For example, if you would open up Parshas Vayeschanan, anybody have a chumash with Dvarim in it? Just a plain chumash. It says, Umi ki amcha Yisrael, who remembers the pasuk? Umi ki amcha Yisrael, goy echad ba'aretz, asher lo, listen carefully, Elokim, Krovim elav, bichol kareinu elav. How would you translate those words? Hashem krovim elav, so referring to the nation of Israel. What's unique about the nation of Israel? The pasuk says, "Mi ki amcha Yisrael goy echad baretz." What's goy echad baretz?
One
unique nation. What? Why are you unique? Because what does the pasuk say?
Hashem is close to us.
Because Hashem is close to us. What does it mean? Bechol kareinu elav. What is kareinu? Lekros. With an olive. Again, to cry out is the literal translation, but what's the halachic category of crying out to Hashem?
Tefillah.
Okay, what's unique about the Jewish people? That God is close to hear our what?
Feelers.
Our prayers. So let's rewrite the Rashi now. According to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, what is the day of Purim? A day of tefillah. And how do we fulfill that special tefillah on Purim?
By
reading the Megillah. Exactly. So let's rewrite the Rashi. Kriyas HaMegillah tefillah hi. Shekorim el Hashem. Kamo she'asasa Esther. When she cried out, Keili, Keili, lama zavtani. And therefore, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi derives Kriyas HaMegillah from the pasuk Elokai Ekra. What does Ekra mean? Tefillah. So what do we have now? We have two different dimensions of Kriyas HaMegillah. According to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Kriyas HaMegillah reflects what dimension? What kiyum? Tefillah. According to Ula, what does Kriyas HaMegillah correct? Sheva. Shakol Mekalsim, as Rashi says, Lakadosh Baruch. Now both sides, what is Purim? Is it a day of happiness, of joy? Is it a day of, shall we say, gaiety and levity and being lightheaded and raucous and getting drunk?
Debauchery.
Well, I don't know about debauchery, hopefully not debauchery, but certainly certainly happiness would typify Purim. Whose sheet in the Gemara would reflect what we know to be the dimension or the complexion of the day of Purim? No, again, I'll give you two choices. It's either Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi or Ula. Rashi is not what? Ula.
Ula from Bira.
Correct, but according to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Purim is a different kind of a day. What kind of a day is Purim?
Tefillah.
Is it a serious day, a solemn day, or is it a day of lightheadedness? According to Ula.
Oh, according to Ula.
I'm sorry, according to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. We spoke about Ula. It's a solemn day.
We still be happy.
Well, what's the most solemn day on the Jewish calendar year?
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur, for sure. Yom Kippur is a very solemn day.
Because Yom Kippur is supposed to be a very happy day. Eitz
Tzimcha Mechila. But even the joy of Yom Kippur is only at the apex of Yom Kippur when we feel a sense of achievement. But the day itself is not. Yom Kippur is not a day to get drunk. Yom Kippur is not a day to run around in a state of, you know, costumes and. And Chayavon of Libsume, Adelo Yoda. But Rabotai, is there any connection between Purim and Kippurim? You know what the Chachmei HaKabbalah says. That Yom Purim Ki Yom Kippurim. The only difference between the two holidays is the Chach. That Purim is Kippurim. Kippurim. In other words, there's some connection here between Yom Kippur and Purim. Yom Kippur is a solemn day. Why is Yom Kippur a solemn day? Because we're praying that Hashem saves us. Purim is a solemn day. Why is Purim a solemn day? Why does Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi insist that the pasuk Keili, Keili, Lama Zavtoni?
Because he almost died.
Exactly, because the Jews realized that it took just one day for everything to change. All of a sudden, Ahasuerus signs a decree that the entire people, men, women, and children, should be annihilated. Did Ahasuerus remember that he signed the decree? He forgot completely that he signed it. Who is his original prime minister? Haman. And who is his prime minister replacing Haman? Mordechai. What did he do to Haman, his trustworthy prime minister, the number one man in the country?
Killed him.
Hang him on a tree. And then who does he replace him with? Mordechai. So tell me something. What is the situation of the Jewish people? Is it secure? Do the Jews have security?
No, it's controlled by Hashem.
The same Ahasuerus who replaces Haman with Mordechai, who knows what he's going to do tomorrow? The situation of the Jew is precarious. And the truth is that that's what mankind is all about. Because although all animals die, and everything in nature dies, but there's something unique about man in terms of his death. No animal that I know of is anxious about the possibility of death. But man is worried about death. Man is worried about illness. What about a rich person? A millionaire, is he secure in his money? No. He may feel very full of himself, you know, he's got money to throw around, but you never know how the wheels are going to turn even in a night. Bin Laila, as the Israelis say. First could feel healthy, specimen of health, goes to the doctor for his yearly checkup, and on his way home, he gets a heart attack and drops dead in the street. I know someone who knows that happened. If he got a clean bill of health, on his way home from the business. This is the condition of humanity. Man is frail. Man is vulnerable. The Ramban Shita is that tefillah is only doraisa be'eis tzara. What's be'eis tzara?
Time of need.
Time of need. The Rav Zichron of Rioch says that according to the Ramban, tefillah is always doraisa, every moment of the day. Why? Every minute is a moment of need, is an ace chart. There's no such thing as a human being who's completely protected and can say, I live in a bubble of security, I don't have the experience of an ace chart. When David Amel says, Mi ma'amakim karsicha Hashem, from the depths of the straits I call out to you Hashem, he's referring to the human condition. I don't know, gentlemen, if you ever heard of a school of philosophy called existentialist philosophy.
Yeah.
My Rebbe, the Rebbe, was very, very much impacted by those philosophers when he studied in Berlin back in the 20s. The existentialist philosophers believe that man's state existentially is one of loneliness. As much as we socialize with other people and we depend upon other people, but ultimately we're alone. And that's the sense in which Esther Amalka says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Keili, Keili, Lama Azavtoni. Or David HaMelech in a different place says, Ki Avi Ve'ili Azavuni. Even my parents are not reliable. Hashem Yatsveni. So our concept of tefillah is rooted in the idea of man's vulnerability. Man is exposed to danger, to nuclear weapons, to diseases. Every day brings another discovery about another disease that's out there. Man is exposed to economic conditions that could completely destroy him. To drought, to pestilence, to different kinds of magepa. So man is constantly in a state of esara and needs tefillah. And therefore, tefillah is an ongoing experience. The laila v'lo dumyali, I won't be silent. Not during the day, not at night. So what is Kriya Samagila according to Rabbi Yishuv Ben Levi? It's an act of tefillah. Why is it that so many parts of the Megillah, did you ever notice it? We shift the tune to the tune of Eicha. Because inherent in the act of reading the Megillah is an expression of how dependent we are, how the conditions change, how man is like blown by the wind and we need God. Which kiyum in Purim expresses the idea of tefillah more than any other kiyum? Is there anything about Purim that engenders a fast?
Tanis Esther.
Tanis Esther. I heard from my Rebbe once that Tanis Esther really should have been on Purim itself. Why? Because Purim represents tefillah, za'akah, as Ilan said so well. And za'aka requires fasting, time. The essence of fasting, we discussed it once on a Sermon Teves, is za'aka. However, Chazal realized that it was impossible to commemorate Tainus Esther on Purim itself. Why is it so? Why would it be absolutely contradictory to Purim if we were to fast the Tainus on Purim?
Yeah.
Because Purim has another dimension.
It's very happy too.
It's not just a day of fear, of petition to God, of feeling a sense of agony and anguish and loneliness that depends upon God, feeling vulnerable and insecure, just as the Jews were vulnerable in the country of Persia, even though the Persian Empire was so pluralistic. It was open to every language. The party there that said, the big bash that Achashverosh, it says there, Ushtia Kidat Ein Onei, that every single religion was represented. And he even ordered special kosher wine for the Jews.
Yeah, kosher wine and kosher food.
Kosher food. It had the Badat HaKshah, actually. Signed by Mordechai himself.
Based on Mikdash Kalim, though, so...
Oh, yeah. Right.
So, obviously, Persia was like the United States of today. It was open to all peoples, all religions. But yet, look what happened. Just days after this great celebration. Laharog, Lahashmin, Lahabin, Achashverosh, sealed and signed. So what is the situation of Purim? What are we saying on Purim? Purim is a very solemn day. So what did Chazal do? They were in a bond. There was a duality or a contradiction in Purim itself. If you're familiar again with existentialist philosophy, there's something called the dialectic relationship, which means thesis and antithesis. On the one end, we have prayer. On the other end, we have Thanksgiving. We have the Geula. It's a day of Simcha. Chai Vinish Lipsuvi Adelo Yada. So how do you reconcile that? Do we fast?
Day before.
Or do we blow? Or do we run around with groggers and blow things in people's ears? What's the answer?
That they separated the two dimensions into two different days.
Excellent. They separated into two different days. Therefore, my Rebbe used to say that someone who doesn't fast on Tainus Esther, he's lacking in the key of Purim itself. His key of Purim is incomplete because he's taken the Elokai Ekra element of the dimension of Purim and he's completely detached himself from that element. Not like on Erev Pesach there's a fast. Who knows what the fast of Erev Pesach is called? Tainus Bechoros. I don't know, you may know about that.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Yeah.
You're also Bechor?
Yeah.
Now, would you say you're also Bechor?
I am.
What would happen if you didn't fast on Erev Pesach? Would you be lacking your Kiyum of Pesach, the holiday of Pesach? No. The relationship between the Tainus on Erev Pesach and Pesach is just coincidental. It's not one identical Kiyum, one unit. But in the case of Purim, Tainus Esther is essential to Purim itself. And the reason for that is because Purim is a very solemn day. It reminds us of Yom HaKippur. What saved the Jewish people from the decree of Haman?
Esther.
Tshuva. If not for the Jewish people doing tshuva, Lech Knosis Kol HaYehudim, I've totally quoted the pasuk before, if not, we wouldn't have had a tshuva. Therefore, what we have to suggest here is that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Chelbo in the name of Ula should be integrated to form one whole. They're both emphasizing a different dimension of Purim. What is the essence of Purim? According to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, it's a solemn day. According to Ula, it's a happy day, a day of thanksgiving. Rashi says, Shakol Mekalsim LaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kilus is even a more intense, higher level expression of thanks, of praise. What mitzvah of praise applies not just on Purim, but on other days of the Jewish calendar year?
Rosh Chodesh.
Like Rosh Chodesh. What is that called?
Hallel.
Hallel, exactly. Does Purim have Hallel? Okay, that's the Gemara in Daf Yudalit. Open up the Daf Yudalit. And we'll see where did Rashi get this from, that Purim is a day of Shevach and Hallel. Tana Rabbanon. It's about 12 lines down from the top. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 13 lines down from the top. Tana Rabbanon. We have it on Daf Yudalit. Arboim Ushmona Nevi'im. Okay, we had 48 Nevi'im. The truth is we had hundreds and thousands of Nevi'im. But there are only 48 that are recorded in Tanakh. Usheva Nevi'os. So we had 7 Nevi'os, also recorded in Tanakh. Nisnabnu lehen l'Yisrael. They prophesied for Israel. V'lo pichsu v'lo hosiru. Al mashakosu v'tor. They never detracted or added from the laws of the Torah. How many mitzvahs do we have in the Torah? 613. Can a Novi come and add or subtract? No, what's the lav in the Torah for that? No, paltosiv. Or paltigra. Chutz. Look at this. There's one exception. Wow. Chutz mi mikra megillah. The mitzvah of mikra megillah. They added a mitzvah. Of course, they also added Hanukkah, Rashi says, on the fourth line down from the top. But that's kvar pasku on neviim. That you can't blame on the neviim because there was no nevuah at the time of Hanukkah. Hanukkah was way after Purim, about 2 centuries after Purim. Avol bimei Mordechai hayu chagai zchari malachim. So there were neviim that accepted the mitzvah and incorporated the mitzvah of established, I should say, the mitzvah of what? Of reading the Megillah. So how can neviim do such a thing? The Gemara right away asks, my drosh. My drosh means what heter did they find? They must have interpreted some pasuk or some concept in a way that permitted them to add a mitzvah that didn't exist in the Torah. Omer Rabbi Chia bar Avin, Omer Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha, and here you have to add 2 words, Kal v'chomer. By the way, Rav Ossa, is Kal v'chomer a doraisa or it's a drabonon? It's a doraisa. Kal v'chomer is one of the Yud Gimel Midosh HaTorah Nidreshes by now. So it has the status of doraisa. Admittedly, it's Torah Shebal Peh, it's not Torah Shebichsav, but it's derived from Torah Shebichsav. Let's see the Kal v'chomer. Umami avdus l'cheres amrinan shira. We require to sing out praise to Hashem if we were taken out of a state of slavery into a state of freedom. How do we know this? What's Shira? That is Shira Al-Yam. When we left Mitzrayim, we recited Shira. What was the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim a matter of saving Klal Yisrael from death? Not from death. It was only May Avdus L'cheres. Is how much more so in the case of Haman and Achashverosh, where the Gzera was L'harog L'hashmidu L'abe L'koshke, we have to say Shira. So what's the obvious question?
We're actually freed from slavery in the time of Egypt. We weren't actually dead in the time of Haram.
So which is a greater chiyuv of Shira?
Right.
Which is a greater salvation? Salvation from slavery when you still survive? Was salvation from a decree to be annihilated?
The thing is, it's only a decree, though. It's not as though we were dead and then we left.
Yeah, but again, we were about to be annihilated. So God
saved
them.
We were about to die. They're about to kill us.
The premise is that they would destroy men, women, and children. So again, where is the chiyuv shira greater? Where is the greater atzola? The case of Yisrael or the case of Achashverosh and Haman?
Achashverosh, he's saving us from death.
So what's the obvious question now?
And we're going to obviously have the Kal v'chomer that we can say, if we can sing praise when we're just taken out of slavery, we can also sing praise when we're saved.
Okay, so what's the question now?
There's
no. Do we sing praise on Purim? Not that I know of.
We don't do Hallel?
There's no Hallel on Purim? Yehachi Hallel Nami Nemo. This be the case where we should cite Hallel on Purim. There is no Hallel on Purim. So the Gemara gives 2 answers. The first answer, according to the Vat, is Rabbi Yitzchak. We don't have Rabbi Yitzchak. Do you have Rabbi Yitzchak in your text? But anyway, the Vat is Rabbi Yitzchak. Om Rabbi Yitzchak, lefisha ein omrim halel al nes shebechutzlar. There's a technical reason why we don't recite Hallel on Purim. Where did the miracle of Purim take place?
Kutaris.
So the Gemara asks, you see it's Mitzrayim, the Nesha B'chutzlaret, Heichi Amrinon Shira. So how do we recite Shira on you see it's Mitzrayim? That took place in Chutzlaret.
We didn't have Arch yet.
The Gemara answers, Kidisanya, based on a brisa Achlo Nichnus Yisrael La'aretz, before Bnei Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael was sanctified at the time of Yoshua. We spoke about this. Is Hukshru Kol Eretz Yisrael Mashira? Then a miracle in any land would be the same as a miracle in Eretz Yisrael. But Misha Nichnus Yisrael La'aretz, once we sanctify the land of Israel at the time of its conquest, is lo hukshu kol aratzol v'shira. Then they remove the mitzvah of shira from every land other than Eretz Yisrael. That's according to Rabbi Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Omar, Rav Nachman gives a different answer. As far as Rav Nachman's perspective is concerned, you could say, you could recite shira, and you'd have to recite shira even on an Ness and Chutzlar. The answer is Kriyasa Zui Hilula. Reading the Megillah is Hallel. So let me ask you a question. Do we recite Hallel? Is there a mitzvah of Hallel on
Purim or not? If you hold that Megillah.
According to Rabbi Yitzchak, what's the answer?
Then it's not, because it happened with our.
But if
you hold that
according to
Megillah, the Megillah is Hallel, then we say.
Correct. Then there is a mitzvah of Hallel. So the Meiri is very famous here on Daf Yudal. The Meiri says that if a person doesn't have a Megillah on Purim, then he should recite Hallel. The Mishnah Brura in his Bir Halacha quotes this Meiri. I don't know if we pass it like the Meiri. And then we have a third answer to the Gemara. Rava Amar, Rava gives a third answer. Bishlei Mahatam. There in the case of Yitzchias Mitzrayim, what happened to the Mitzrayim?
They died.
They died. Halolo Abdi Hashem. Velo Abdi Parah. Elohocha Halolo Abdi Hashem. Velo Abdi Achashverosh. Akati Abdi Dachashverosh.
What?
In other words, the miracle of Purim did not create a permanent end to the situation of our fear
of
Achashverosh.
What
do you mean? So let me go over what I said before. Achashverosh was a paranoid king and totally unreliable. His situation could fluctuate, his decrees could be changed, minakotel, cuts from one extreme to the other, overnight. You couldn't rely on this man. We'll soon see the Chazal of Machlokas, what kind of fellow he was. Was he a Chacham or a Tipesh? Well, one thing is clear, whether he was a Chacham or a Tipesh doesn't bother me one way or the other, he was certainly unreliable. I don't know if you guys ever heard, back in communist Russia, at the time of the revolution, there was a person by the name of Stalin. Did you ever hear of Stalin?
Yeah.
Stalin could murder his best friends on a whim. He was totally crazy. He was totally unreliable. And that was the situation of the Jews under Achashverosh. So on the one hand, we should say Hallel because Hashem saved us from the decree of Achashverosh. But on the other hand, we don't know what's coming around the bend. Not like in the case of Mitzrayim. There was a Chiv Shira. Why?
They were dead. They're washed
the
mission, on the shore.
They were completely wiped out. So our enemies were gone. The fear of Mitzrayim was no longer. But in the case of Achashverosh, the Jews still continued to live in relative fear and insecurity. They were still vulnerable to attack. Trust me, they didn't like us too much. The Goyim don't like us too much. And imagine how many thousands upon thousands of enemies we had in the Persian Empire. Do you remember that when the king gave it in Shushan another day to kill the enemy? Do you remember how many enemies they killed on that one day? 75,000. And those were only the outspoken adversaries, you know, the ones who wove the flag, you know what I mean, you know, the Hamas flag. So it was a very dangerous situation. So let's go over three answers to the question of Hallel on Purim. Rashi back on Daf Dalet says, in interpreting Ula, that the reason we recite the Megillah twice, at night and by day, is because we all know Deka. Rashi says that it's the day of Shvach, and to express that Shvach as a constant kind of praise to God, we have to read the Megillah not once, not twice. Whose Shita does that Shita of Rashi in Ula reflect?
Rabbi Nachman.
Correct, Rabbi Nachman, that Kriyasa Zui Hilula, that by reading the Megillah, we fulfill the mitzvah of Hallel. So we have Rav Nachman holding that Purim generates a theme of Hallel. On the other hand, we have Rav Yitzchak and Rava. They both agree that Purim does not generate a theme of Hallel, but for different reasons. According to Rav Yitzchak, why doesn't Purim generate a theme of Hallel?
Because it was having chutzar.
Because it was the nesh of a chutzar. So according to Rava, why does it generate a theme of Hallel?
Because we weren't really saved.
Correct. There was no ultimate, irreversible salvation It was a very precarious situation the Jews found themselves in. Akati Abdi da Hashverish. Because our enemies are still out there. And once we destroy our enemies, that's a full-fledged geula, and that generates a sea of power. If, according to Rava, our enemies are still lurking in the shadows, and we don't know when they're going to have, you know, the audacity to come out from their hiding place and, you know, and reformulate the neo-Nazi parties, you know what I mean? So until the point, you know, when the neo-Nazis are lurking in the shadows, you know, I don't know if you heard about Skokie, Illinois, which is one of the suburbs of Chicago. They have a whole neo-Nazi group there, you know, it's not safe to walk the streets, you don't know when. And then you have, in America, you have something called the Ku Klux Klan.
Right.
They don't like the blacks.
They don't like anybody.
They don't like the Jews either.
For themselves.
And, you know, the hate mail that's going on now in America on the internet, you know about that? Tremendous. A flourish of anti-Semitic hate mail in the United States. In Europe, nothing to talk about. You know, to walk the streets of Europe and show yourself to be a Jew is a dangerous thing. I don't know of one country in Europe where anti-Semitism is not rising by leaps and bounds. I met a fellow from England. He told me that the last 6 weeks he's seen more increase in anti-Semitism than the 6 years he's been living in England. British anti-Semitism is as old as the hills, way before the Germans. And the truth of the matter is that it's hard to say Hallel on a temporary salvation. It's not a permanent solution. The Jews are still exposed. So if your enemies are this is rubbish. If your enemies are destroyed, then you have a Chiyuv Hallel. Your enemies are still out there, you just have a temporary respite. That's not Hallel.
What about Chatzi Hallel?
Okay. Now, let's get back to Daf Dalet for a moment. So we spoke about two dimensions of Megillah, two dimensions of Purim. And now the question would be, what would be if you didn't have a Megillah on Purim? Let's say you're a chayal in the army, you can't have access to a Megillah. What do you do? Should you recite Hallel? Well, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, I would say what? No Hallel, why no? Yeah, it's Tefillah, it's not Sheva. But according to Ula, then we can raise this question, a serious question. So I told you the Miri holds that you have to cite Hallel. According to Rav Nachman, Kriyas Zuri Hitlula, then for sure you would recite Hallel if you don't have a Megillah. Unless you want to say that even according to Rav Nachman, once they establish that the form of Hallel that's taken on for the fulfillment of Hallel on Purim is what? It's a Megillah. Therefore, that's the only way you could do. There's no other substitute fallback condition. Certainly, according to Rava and Rav Yitzchak, there's no possibility of reciting Hallel on Purim because it's a net. Shebechutzlar to Akati Avde Zachashverosh Anna. Now, yesterday we mentioned that women are obligated at least in what? At the very least?
To hear
the Megillah. Whose sheet is it that women have an obligation to hear the Megillah? We didn't forget yesterday's shir, I hope. What? The Bahat. The Baal Halachos Gedolah. So the question I have for you is, I understand that Apein Hayu Bosa and Nes is only enough according to Baha'i to generate a few Shmiya Samagila and not a few of Kriya. That's for the men. But for the men, we have a process Hayome Udin's Karim Benat. But wouldn't there be another reason why women are chayav to read the Megillah?
Shabbat Hashem.
Could be Persume Nis is only a chayav of Shmiya according to the Baha'i. That the next, the miracle is publicized with her Shmiya, by her hearing the Megillah reading. But shouldn't there be another reason to generate a few Kriya on women?
For a Hallel?
For Hallel. if we paskin kriyasa zui hilula, like the Meiri says, if you don't have a Megillah, you have to read Hallel, it means the kiyum of Hallel on Purim is through the Megillah. In other words, inherent in the reading of the Megillah, we have another mitzvah, not just kriyas ha-Megillah, but also Hallel. Then the question arises, do women have to read the Megillah means in Hallel?
I would say no.
What?
Because Mesotech has Man Rama, and we already use, I mean, you might be able to say Shabbin Otova and Hayuva Otovani, but we already use that to generate the Hayuva Otovani of Kishmiya for Kishmini. So
the question is, are women obligated in the midst of Hallel? That's
not
an interesting question. What do you say? And therefore women should be obligated? So let's divide up Hallel into two parts. Well, just as we can divide Tefillah into two parts. There's one aspect of Tefillah which is of obligation that's common to both men and women. And there's another dimension of tefillah which is uniquely obligatory in the case of men. Tefillah is an ongoing mitzvah which is not time-bound. That's called in the Lashon of the Gemara, brachos nachach. Tefillah rachmeinu means, I depend upon the compassion of God. Women, no less than men, depend upon the compassion of God, and therefore they have a chiyuv of tefillah. However, when you attach tefillah to three different time periods, that's called tefillah derabbanan. Erev, avokim, and tzaraim. Ma'ariv, shachris, and mincha. That's already another story. And then you might say that women are exempt under the law of zman grama. The first mitzvah of tefillah of rachmeinu, that's d'oraita. And that's a general mitzvah of prayer. Women should be included in that tefillah rachmeinu because they need rachmeinu no less than men do. Hallel is a mirror image of tefillah. The fact that a person was saved from doom and disaster means that he has to say Hallel. That's a doraisa halacha and has to be fulfilled. It's incumbent upon both men and women. However, when the Rabbanim established Hallel at a certain time, then women are exempt. Now, one of you gentlemen was kind enough to carry my Sfarim back from before lunch. So can you imagine? One of the Sfarim I had was the Encyclopedia Talmudim. Ted, yeah, can I borrow that? He had something there about Hallel. Oh, this we can show. On both sides. I want to give you a piece of homework for today. Can you open up the page you date? You bet on it out. Yeah, thank you. When the lines start getting wide, line three. You have that tail? The left one in the third line is tail?
Yes.
I want you to go from there up until on Amud Beis. So Vayomer Hamelech LeChachamim. That's line four, line five of the wide line. Vayomer Hamelech LeChachamim.
Line five.
Where? Wait, from tail to where's Vayomer Hamelech LeChachamim? Wait, Rosh Shiva, where are we reading to again?
So the fifth of the wide line.
So we're starting on the third, we're reading to the fifth?
That makes sense to you?
I
Pause it.
Yeah.